Hello again. This is John Charty to have words with you, and happy as a clam to have your ear. Have you ever wondered why on earth we say happy as a clam to mean very happy indeed? Suppose you were seized by a powerful molluscophiliac impulse. What could you do to make a clam as happy as a clam can be? We all know the idiom. We all use it. But does it make sense? The happiest one can make a clam, I suggest, is simply to leave it alone. Let me offer you a memorial limerick on this well-known trait of clam behavior. There once was a clam in its bed that never once lifted its head. "What a very dull life we live," said its wife. "Perhaps, but I like it," he said. Our colonial forefathers understood how their clams felt about things. That is why they developed the saying in full, "Happy as a clam at high tide." In those days, there were no dredges for scooping bottoms from a clam boat. At high tide, the clam was left alone and, therefore, happy. Curious language creatures that we are, we have clipped the earlier idiom, but kept the original sense of it, though many Americans use the clipped idiom today without really knowing why they say it as they do. Our loquacious species keeps doing that. It distorts and alters idiom, yet it generally goes on using them more or less accurately. When we drink, we wet our whistle. Ask the next person you meet, and he will probably tell you that in this idiom, the whistle refers to our lips. It is hard to whistle through them if they are puckered by thirst. Therefore, we wet them in order to whistle. We take a drink. It sounds plausible, but that is not how the idiom came about. In early England, and still today, countrymen used to cut hay and grain with a scythe, commonly called a whistle, because of the sound it made as it cut across the stalks. It was hot, dry work in the sun, and the countryman took with him into the field a jug of beer, the British seem to like warm beer, or ginger beer, what we call ginger ale, or of cider, hard or soft, depending on good or bad luck. At need, he might be reduced to plain water. After a certain number of passes, moreover, the scythe or whistle became dulled and had to be honed with a whetstone. When he stopped to whet, W-H-E-T, his whistle or scythe, the countryman also took a pull on his jug. In time, we corrupted whet, W-H-E-T, to wet, W-E-T. Forgot that the whistle was once the name for a scythe, and have been making bad guesses about this country idiom ever since, though we still know it means at root to have a drink. The idiom was a bit further confused in the 17th century when a Yorkshire potter began to make glazed beer mugs with a whistle built into the handle. When the mug was empty and you couldn't catch the eye of the bar wedge, you wet your whistle, gave it a blow, to order a refill. I have seen an antiquarian catalogue in which a pair of large sterling whistle mugs, once the property of the Lord Mayor of somewhere or else, was posted at a price high enough to make me whistle. This is John Charty saying with Robert Burns, "Whistle o'er the levot, whistle over the rest of it," until our next word ramble, and until then, good words to you.
The comments of etymologist and poet John Charty.